You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Despite published reports here and elsewhere, the Bush-Jeter syndicate has not won the bidding for the Miami Marlins. They're still on the market as MLB evaluates the bids. Our guest, whom you all know, is part of a competitive group headed by Tag Romney, the son of the former presidential nominee. He won 305 games, only the sixth left-handed pitcher ever to win more than 300, won two Cy Young Awards, and 20 games five times, made 10 All-Star teams, and was enshrined into the Baseball Hall of Fame 3 years ago. We welcome to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball number 47, Tommy Glavine. Tommy, as Yogi said, it ain't over till it's over, and there are reports about Bush Jeter that they were exasperated by reports that the ball club had been spreading misinformation that they, in fact, had gotten the club. But the fact is, they're still up for bids on the Price is Right.
I don't know where what happened that the premature reporting came out that they had won the bid, but it was news to my group as well. So that it's kind of been one of those things since then that both groups are aware that the process is ongoing, where both groups I think are in the process of making sure that they have their ducks in a row, so to speak, and are trying to get to a position to put our best foot forward and try to have a resolution to this thing sometime soon. So that's kind of where it's at right now, and I know both groups are working hard, and we'll see what happens.
How did you come to know the Romneys?
It's interesting. I've kind of been in this process of pursuing a team for a couple of years now, and it's the kind of thing that, you try to evaluate what's out there, what teams are available, what teams are serious about being available, and then you kind of go down that road. And about a year or so ago, we came to the realization that the Marlins may be a team that might become available. And, so we kind of just kept the lines of communication open. And while that's going on, you're trying to get in touch with people that you think might be able to be a part of it, or somebody that you certainly think could be the guy that would be, the owner, so to speak, the controlling partner. So some people that have been working with me had a relationship with Tag. I met with Tag actually when I was in Boston for Christmas visiting my parents, and we had a great conversation, and I think we hit it off pretty well, and from that point on just kind of kept plugging along, so to speak, in terms of getting to know each other and then trying to figure out what and who we would want to try and be involved with us and with our group, and it's just kind of evolved from there.
His father is not a part of this, my understanding is.
He's not, no. Will he be later? That I don't know, but as of now, no. It's Tag and our group of guys.
How did you become involved?
It was a simple conversation with a friend who asked me if I would ever consider doing something. And of course, my answer was, yeah, I'd consider it, but it would have to be the right situation and the right place. And I think for me, the right place would have to be somewhere on the East Coast. I know initially one of the teams that was talked about as being potentially available was Seattle, but, that's a team for me that being out on the West Coast, it's too far from home. So that immediately kind of eliminates that market. So you try to focus on what's available close to home, if anything, and, try to get there. But like I said, it was the kind of thing that somebody asked me if I'd be interested. I said, of course I'd be interested. And then you try to, again, find what's available, find if something fits, if something's right, and just kind of continue the process. And like I said, it's not been a short process. I've been at it for a while now. It's just now, obviously, that the attention is focused on the Marlins and trying to make that happen.
And Tom, there was a time when you were playing when there were a lot of teams that were available. There was instability among ownership of major league teams. Teams were being bought and sold. Now that time has passed, and it's rare when you see a team now up for sale, and in this case, it's the Marlins.
Yeah, and that's what I think has been, I don't want to say the difficult part, but maybe the frustrating part, because yeah, you know, there's only 30 of them, and they're not all for sale. And then the ones that might end up being for sale, you know, you might go through that process. Well, you know, maybe they are, or maybe they want to kick the tires on it, but then they decide not to. So, you know, it's kind of that, for lack of a better term, a little bit of that song and dance that goes on and that feeling out process to see exactly who's out there, who might be available, and then trying to get somebody to get to the point where not only are they available, but then trying to come to an agreement. I mean, it hasn't been an easy process, but, you know, like you say, there's not many of these things, and I don't imagine that anybody thought it was going to be super easy, but, you know, you're right. We're in a day and age now where the game has been stable, ownership has been stable, and, you know, it's a rare opportunity to have something like this come along.
I think, Tom, what has caught the public's attention is this interesting parallel of you on the Tag Robney team and Jeter with Bush.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you know, again, when this thing started and you know, it was my group kind of kicking the tires with the Marlins and trying to get to the point where we got to try to get something done before we had more people in the mix. I mean, that was our immediate goal. But when that doesn't happen, you know, you don't know who's going to emerge. And yeah, I think there's it has a funny twist to it that you have, you know, two political families and two ex-players on opposite sides of the coin, so to speak. But you know, look, I mean, it's like I said, it's been an interesting process, and you know, I don't know Jeb Bush, but obviously I know Derek. I have a ton of respect for Derek. So you know, again, we'll kind of see what happens. But it's funny. I think it's kind of being pitted as you know, me against Derek a little bit or something like that. But like I said, I've been in this process for a while, and you know, I know Derek got in recently, so it really hasn't been that you know, competition between the both of us, so to speak.
Is there anything to a story that your bid is higher than Bush Jeter?
I think so, but again, I don't know that that's going to be the deciding factor. You know, I think that so much of it has to do with not only, you know, what your bid is, but, you know, do you have the ability to support your bid? And I think that's what everybody's working hard on right now, is trying to make sure that they've, you know, secured their investors. I mean, I think when you go through this process, you'll find people that say they're interested in it, and, you know, then actually getting people to commit the money and write a check is a different story. So, you know, I think that's where both groups are right now, is getting to that point where they, you know, they can secure their money and they can put their best foot forward, and then, you know, let Major League Baseball and the Marlins make a decision on, you know, either which group has the higher bid or which group is the most organized. Whatever the deciding factor is going to be, I think that's what we're all going to have to wait and see.
Tom, how would you like to be Jeffrey Loria? He bought the team for $158 million in 2002, and he's going to be getting, we believe, somewhere between $1.2 and $1.3 billion, which would be only an eightfold return.
I think that's the kind of investment, or the return on an investment we'd all like to see with things that we do, right? I mean, yeah, it's crazy when you look at it and see what he paid for that team and then turn around and see what he's going to sell it for. I mean, I think that's why it's an attractive investment for a lot of people. You know, these teams will go through some years where maybe they lose money in a given year or in a short period of time. But, you know, for the most part, it's not happening that these organizations are selling less than what somebody bought them for. I mean, they continue to grow in value. And I think that's just a testament to the game and the stability of the game and the product. And, why, when these things do come available, you know, you see a lot of people interested in them, because it's a club that a lot of people want to be a part of.
I want to ask you this. Tom Glavine is with us. So happy to have him with us on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. By next season, five players on the Marlins will make a collective $95 million. There's a poor farm system that needs time to replenish, a small local TV contract that doesn't expire until 2020, and a team that is said to lose about $30 million a year, and Forbes listed its valuation at about $980 million. Man, how's that for a sales pitch? Are you concerned about any of those factors?
Well, of course you have to be concerned, and I think that all goes into factoring what people are willing to pay for the team. You know, I think if you've you know, if you followed this a little bit, I think you know that initially there was some talk that this team might sell for as much as $1.8 billion.
Right.
But I think when people start to dig into what's going on and do their due diligence, that's not a price that people were willing to pay. And because of all those reasons. So absolutely, the fact that they're going to lose money, the fact that they have some big contracts, the fact that their minor league system needs to be revamped, the relationship with the fans down there and the current ownership group, all those things factor into what somebody's going to be willing to pay. And I can tell you that, you know, those are certainly discussions that we've had on our side, and I'm sure they're being had on the Bush Jeter side as well, is, you know, how much is too much? I mean, I think you know, to some degree, when you're getting into this, you're probably going to overpay a little bit because of what it is. And, you know, the opportunities are so rare. But people aren't willing to overpay crazy amounts of money. So, you know, and all of those things that you just mentioned factored in. So, yeah, I mean, those will certainly be challenges for whatever group ends up getting this team, you know, both at the big league level and revamping in the minor league system, but also TV contracts and trying to get more people in the seats at the ball games. All of that stuff is the challenge, you know, and I think you'll get some people that will look at all that and say, wait a minute, you want me to pay what for that? You should be paying me to take over and fix those problems, you know, and some people have that attitude, but like I say, it's a challenge to begin with, but it certainly is an organization that needs some fine tuning.
And we're with Tom Glavine trying to buy the Miami Marlins. And another problem for the prospective owners is inheriting a payroll that was strategically set up by Loria to grow exponentially after he leaves. But Tom, you just touched on something that's very important. The market in South Florida needs an ownership that the fans can trust.
Yeah, no question. Look, I think there's been a level of distrust or dislike or both. You know, look, I mean, the Marlins fans have been through a couple rebuilds down there. And, you know, I'm not saying that was all Jeffrey's fault. You know, one of them was under the previous ownership. But,
right.
You know, you certainly have the dynamic of, for whatever reason, whether it's the club leaving the Fort Lauderdale area and going down to Miami, that you have that fan base in the Fort Lauderdale area that was ticked off and not happy about the move. How do you get those people back in the fold? You know, there's some people in Miami, in the Miami area, that weren't happy with the stadium deal that was struck down there. And you know, there's ill will towards that as well. So, you know, there's a certain level of people that just don't like the current ownership, have said they're not going to spend any more money on the team because of the current ownership now. How much of that is true? How do you factor that all in? I don't know, but there's no question that, you know, there's going to have to be some goodwill that's extended towards, you know, a lot of the fan base down there to try and get more of them in the mix.
Are you recruiting partners to secure financing for your group?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's always an ongoing process. You know, we're in really good shape. But I think you're always looking for a little bit more. I mean, look, you want to be, ideally, if you get the bid, you want to be in a position where you're overfunded, not underfunded. So, you know, there's always that effort out there that, you know, if you're at a point where you say, hey, we can get this thing done where we are, you're certainly not going to stop. You're going to continue to look for more investors and try to have, you know, more in your reservoir, so to speak, so you have more capital to operate with. So the more is better. But like I say, in the grand scheme, you know, we're in really good shape where we are. I think we're just out there probably like everybody trying to get as much as we possibly can.
Tom Glavine with us for a few more moments on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Do you plan on putting money in your billions into this?
I do, yes. I'm not going to tell you what, but I do. I will be an investor, yeah.
And if you get the ball club, Tom, you want an active role, perhaps being the general manager?
I want an active role, but I wouldn't go so far as to say general manager, certainly not at this point. You know, I think for me, look, I've said it before. I know the game. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know the game well enough, both on the field and off the field, in terms of, you know, operating the business, that I could step in tomorrow and be a general manager or anything like that. I mean, there's a lot to learn in terms of how the game works, not, you know, beyond the talent on the field, you know, how collective bargaining rules work in terms of, you know, things you can and cannot do with players and things of that nature. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how I could step in and make a smart trade tomorrow if I was in charge. I mean, that's all stuff you need to learn, and that's all stuff I want to learn. I think initially my focus would be being involved with the upper levels of the minor league system, certainly being involved with the guys at the big league level, and either, you know, assessing talent or helping out where I can with pitchers or things of that nature. And then, you know, be a part of the whole decision-making process in terms of the direction of the club. You know, no, I'm not somewhere down the road, GM or something of that nature, maybe, but not in the short term.
Dave Stewart, the former pitcher, the recently deposed general manager in Arizona, is now part of your group, and there's talk that he could be involved actively, perhaps in charge of baseball operations.
You know, I think the talk of him, of Dave being involved as head of baseball operations, is probably a little bit of a stretch. You know, I know Dave has spoken with Tag, and Dave is going to be a part of our group. To what capacity, I don't know, but I don't think there are any plans that it would be, you know, baseball operations or GM or anything like that in the short term. You know, look, Dave's been in the game, player, front office. He knows the game, certainly a valuable guy to have a part of your team. But there are no plans at this stage for him to take over either of those roles in the short term.
I'm glad you clarified that. You were on the other side of the table, very active in labor relations during the time in which there was the ongoing war between the owners and the players. You were the National League player rep during our nuclear winter of 1994, as I call it. Was there ever a thought about... there was deep inside you, boy, maybe one day I'm going to be on the other side?
You know, I don't, probably, but not from the sense of, you know, hey, I wonder if at some time down the road if I could be on the other side of this table. I think I thought of it more from the standpoint of, okay, here's our argument, here's what we're fighting for, here's their argument, here's what they're trying to do, and trying to look at it from a standpoint of understanding their argument, and trying to better then understand and formulate what we were trying to do and our arguments against what the owners were trying to do. So, you know, not, like I say, not from the standpoint of, hey, someday I want to be one of those guys on that other side of the table. But, you know, I think having been through it as a player, certainly gives me a little bit of a unique perspective, because I think I have the ability to look at it from both sides and you know, not only know what the owners are trying to do, but what the player's point of view would be on that as well, good or bad. So I think it would give me a little bit of a unique perspective in that regard.
Tom, there's a story that beyond Bush Jeter and Romney Glavine, there are some other independent bidders out there, fantastically wealthy, that could simply write a check because their personal wealth is said to exceed that of what Jeffrey Loria is asking for. And it reminds me of Steve Garvey, part of a group in Los Angeles to buy the Dodgers, and they bid $1.75 billion for the Dodgers and got blown out of the water, Tom, with Guggenheim at $2.15 billion. They weren't even close. Are you concerned at all about a scenario like that developing?
You know, we've heard a little bit of that there might still be other groups out there. To my knowledge, maybe there are other groups that are interested, but I don't know that they're in the process. You know, my sense is that the Marlins and Major League Baseball are focused on the two groups that are in it right now that everybody knows about. And, you know, look, if something were to happen that this thing falls apart on everybody, then, you know, maybe at that time there are more groups that enter into the mix. But I think right now, my understanding, and I'm not saying I'm 100% right, this is just my understanding, is that the two groups, you know, my group, Bush Jeter group, are the two groups that are involved. That's what Major League Baseball and the Marlins are focused on. And look, I think at this stage of the game, it would not be something that the Marlins or Major League Baseball would want to do, is to start this process all over again. So I think Major League Baseball knows the two groups that are involved and have a comfort level with the two groups. You know, you have people that have been looked at and vetted and you know, and most likely will be approved by Major League Baseball. So those are all things, obviously, that baseball has to be concerned about. And then you got, you know, two very well-respected people in Jeb Bush and Tag Romney. And then you have two former players that want to get involved. So I think those are two pretty good groups that Major League Baseball could hang their hat on moving forward. And my guess is, my sense is that's the focus right now, and that nobody else, you know, while there might be people saying they're interested, I don't really know that anybody else is in the process.
Tom, you're talking to the holder of the University Heights Little League record in the Bronx for strikeouts in a 7-inning game. That's for pitching, by the way.
Nice.
I struck out 16 guys. I'm well-rested. And just wondering, if you get the ball club, do you think at least I could get an invitation to spring training? Like I said, I'm well-rested.
Hey, we might need some veteran arms in the bullpen. So, yeah, I mean, you know, keep yourself in shape, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, good. Get in shape, I think, is probably the operative, the operative word. And I'm ambidextrous, so I can throw underwater, as Andy Van Slyke once said.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
That'll do it for Tom Glavine and myself. Thanks for listening, everybody. And if you're on the move, thanks for the ride. And thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.